What I would like for you to do this morning is take the insert that you received in your bulletin, because I have seven scriptures I want to read at the beginning, and then we'll be getting into the message. Take that insert out. I would like for you to stand with me, please. And we're going to look at seven different verses that deal with what the Bible says about a nation and God's part in dealing with that nation. The first one is Job 12:23. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. That he there is God. Amen. Notice the Bible says he's the one that increases a nation, and he's the one that destroys a nation. Everybody nowadays is concerned about, what about Russia, and what about the Muslims, and what about North Korea? God can protect us from them, but who's going to protect us from God? Amen. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but a sin is a reproach to any people. And this is one scripture I have included here that doesn't have the word nation in it, but I thought it was so applicable for our day and time. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isaiah 40:15-17. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isle as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. We're going to get puffed up against God as Americans, are we? You better go back and read that verse. And finally, Jeremiah 12:17. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. Brother Brad Hickson, would you pray for the message today, and everybody can be seated. Yes. Amen. Help us, though. Amen.
Yes.
Yes,
Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Yesterday, our country celebrated the 4th of July, which is, as you all know, a holiday that we celebrate annually to commemorate the signing of the Declaration of Independence of the United States on July the 4th, 1776. And for me, it is an amazing thing to think about the fact that our country is only 244 years old. Our country is still young. Like any country, we've had our times of war and pestilence. We got that now. Crop failures, economic collapse. You study about the Great Depression in the 30s, along with the Dust Bowl, which was very detrimental to our country in the 30s, and natural disasters and catastrophes and the political unrest. We've seen it in this country, but with all those struggles and losses that this country has experienced, it's also celebrated many victories and achieved great prosperity. We have enjoyed a standard of living in this country that 95% or more of the rest of the world only dreams about. God has blessed this country. Now, I'm not going to debate anybody this morning as to whether or not this country was established as a Christian nation. I do know that many left England and came to America to seek religious freedom. I know also that many, if not most, of the forefathers of the country believed in a supreme creator, in a supreme being. But I also know, maybe you don't, but I also know that many of the forefathers of this country were just deists. They never in writing or by recorded history professed Christ as Savior. Not to mention the name of Jesus Christ is found nowhere in the Constitution. So I personally, and everybody just relax and let me get through this, okay? I personally do not believe that the United States was officially, listen, was officially formed to be a Christian nation. I do not believe the evidence is there for that. However, I do believe that our nation, since its formation, has probably had the greatest percentage of Christians per capita of any country in the world. This country has a history of producing great churches and preachers of the gospel. This country has a history of supporting missionary endeavors that surpass any other country in the world. This country has a history of administrating more Christian aid to those suffering than any other country in the world, and has long, since some countries dropped it, somewhat continued standing on some of the moral principles of the Bible, while many of the other countries abandoned God and the Bible. I sincerely believe that this morning that the only thing that is keeping this country from being utterly destroyed by God is the pockets of true believers scattered all throughout the United States and are so supposed and less than everyday pro-Israel stand. That's what's keeping God from bringing down the hammer on us this morning. So this morning, I wanted to deliver to the whole church here my State of the Union address. It will be coming live from the pulpit of Holy Hills Baptist Church, not the Oval Office. We will broadcast from the church house, not the White House. It will involve no propaganda, no words of deception, and the true State of the Union will be disclosed based upon what the King James Bible says, not CNN, not MSNBC or Fox News. Now, before I begin this morning, I want to ask everybody in here a question. According to the Bible, and according to the verses that we just stood together and read, what kind of shape do you think this country is in? You just think about the scriptures that we just stood and read together. What kind of shape do you think that this country is in? Before I ever get started, based on what God said, who is the establisher and the destroyer of all nations, that's the very first verse we read this morning, how do you think God feels about this country? That's the big word nowadays, how do you feel about it? Well, how do you think God feels about it? Nobody ever asked God how he feels about anything. How do you feel? I feel fine. How do you feel? Do you feel? Did I hurt your feelings? Do you feel? What about God? How does he feel? Anybody ever consider about how he might feel about the thing? And before we discuss the current state of affairs in this country right now, I want to go back a few years and see how we got to where we are, okay? Now, I'm going to start it in the 60s because that's really when the things started really going south, but it started before that. In the 20s, I don't know if you've studied the 20s. The 20s were called the Roaring 20s. I've done a study on that, actually preached some of that before. Not here, but I preached some of that. Some big changes happened in this country during what they call the Roaring 20s. And by the way, here it is, 2020, 100 years of it now. 100 years of it. Constantly sliding down away from God toward hell. But it began in the 20s with the Roaring 20s and a lot of wickedness going on. But I don't have time to cover all that, so let's just jump to the 60s. The 1960s, you saw three things. And I'm telling you all this because it brings into effect what we are experiencing in this country today. The 1960s, you saw the sexual revolution, you saw the feminist movement, and that was also the time when Madeline Murray O'Hara in 1963 was able to take prayer and Bible reading out of public schools. There's three pivotal things that happened in this country in the 60s. We had the sexual revolution, which is also connected to hippies and drugs and dope. And everybody began to express themselves freely. Bunch of nasty people didn't know how to take a bath. But the sexual revolution was just beginning in the 60s, and now we're seeing some big fruit from it right now. Then you had the feminist movement. The women outright rejected their roles as defined in the Bible, and now, thanks to the feminist movement, you're just as sorry as a man is, lady. There was a time when you were more pure than the man. There was a time when you didn't talk like the man. There was a time when you didn't act like that man. You got what you wanted. Yeah, you've come a long way, baby. You're just as sorry and disgusting as the man is right now. Listen, if you think that's bad, brother, I ain't even started today. The old brother Knowles is back here today. Let me tell you something. One of the worst things that ever happened in this country was the feminist movement. There's nothing wrong with a woman wanting to be paid as much as a man if she does what a man does. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm for that. I agree with it 100%. It's all this other nonsense that comes with it. It's killed our homes. Do you know what a child needs more than a professional worker? A mama. And that's what's killing our homes in America. We don't have good mamas. Amen. I'll amen myself, I reckon. The feminist movement, the sexual revolution, and this legalization of abortion, it all goes hand in hand. Taking prayer out of school, man, this stuff started in the 60s. Then you get over into the 70s, and you do have that. You have Roe versus Wade, 1973. That's a big deal in our country. The legalization of murdering babies. Also in the 60s and going into the 70s, the sexual problem begins to increase. That's actually a time when pornographic movies become more popular, and they start making them more. We have a tremendous problem with pornography in this country right now. I'm going to get on that here in a moment. In 1978, did you know in 1978 the first legal casino opened up that was outside of Nevada? In 1978, there wasn't a casino open outside of Nevada that was legal, but it opened up in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Now, in case some of you don't know it, let me go ahead and tell you. I'm going to go ahead and get this off so I can preach a little bit. The lottery is wicked. You got no business playing it. You're wasting God's money. I don't care how much you put in the plate on Sunday or whatever. You ought not be playing it. There's something wrong with you for doing it. You're wasting God's money. It's wicked. Everybody all right? It's still wicked. It'll be wicked when I leave here today, bless God, no matter what you think about it or how much money you wasted on it. Then you get into the 80s. Pornographic movies now move to VCRs. I could elaborate on some of that, but I'm not going to. It's moving from the theaters and the news racks. You now have satellite TV. That's when you were introduced with something called the Playboy Channel and other things that's too gross to mention. So you're going from the 60s. You see how it's built in the 60s, and it's a little bit bigger in the 70s, and then you build upon that, and you get that in the 80s. Living together became more acceptable. Divorce becomes more common in the 80s. Then you get into the 1990s, just building upon it. Now the culture wars start in the 90s, where more and more people begin to support abortion, gun control, recreational drug use, homosexuality. College professors begin to manifest with their liberal agendas in the universities. And then you have the World Wide Web, which becomes open for public use in the 90s. Now, you know what makes a web a spider? You know why he makes a web? To trap you. To suck the blood out of you, to kill you. You might ought to think about that every time you get on the World Wide Web. Amen. Then you get to the 2000s. Now YouTube and Facebook has become popular. So you have all your little sound bites and your busybodies and people more addicted. They can't even sit down and have a supper together. They're on a stupid cell phone. Please don't invite me to go out and eat supper with you if you're going to look at the cell phone all the time and not even talk to me. I know it's so uncomfortable in here. I don't even give a rip. Don't invite me to come eat if you don't want to talk to me. Well, glory. I'm fed up with this mess. And you'd be fed up with it too if you was a pastor and you had to clean up all this junk all the time like I do. You don't get called about it. I do. You don't see how it's messing up families and marriages. I do. You just think it's just some kind of innocent thing. YouTube. You get all kind of mess out there. And then in 2015, we had that 5-4 Supreme Court decision to legalize homosexual marriages. And now, listen, now a bakery can be sued if it doesn't want to make a cake for two perverts getting married. That's where we are. And now here in 2020, there's another 40 years. You notice that? 20 to 60, 60 to 2000. And then now when you get to 2000, we're halfway in between another 40 years. I don't know. I wonder if that's the end, man. I don't know. I don't claim to know. I know this, our country is absolutely in the sorriest shape it's ever been in, and Lester Olof was 100% right when he said, America is an insane asylum run by the inmates. So where are we at today? Well, let me just give it to you. Human trafficking. That's what we're all worried about, somebody being abducted and sold as a sex slave here in America. All over the place in America. That's what we're worried about. God, how do we get to human trafficking? Back there in the 60s, back there in the roaring 20s with the flapping women that are flappers. Now we got flappers in 2000 that are flapping their gums. The 60s, a sexual revolution, and going on there through the 70s and legalizing that junk and pushing the homosexual agenda. And now what we have to worry about is somebody abducting people in our country to sell them as sex slaves. And you think God's just up there grinning like a possum eating briar saying, ha, ha, those old people down there. You think God's jee-hawing that? Pornography is so available. We had to, as a nasty teenage boy, and most teenage boys go through it unless you're raised in a good Christian home, I was involved in that, but we had to sneak around to get our pornography. I'm ashamed of it. It's embarrassing, but we had to work hard to look at something nasty. Nobody in this church has to work hard to look at something nasty. And listen, it's not just affecting perverted people. I'm talking about good Christian men and women that stuff gets a hold of. You have to watch that stuff. It's all a product of how we've just steadily increased, steadily build upon it and build upon it and build upon it and build upon it. And now we have this LGBTQ. That's the lesbians, the bisexuals, the gays, the transsexual, and what they call them themselves. That's what that Q stands for, queer. That's the sodomites and the transgender and gender identity and all this stuff. People don't know if they're a male or a female. They don't know which bathroom to go in now. Romans chapter 1 is still in the Bible. That stuff is still perverse. It was perverse 2,000 years ago. It was perverse 6,000 years ago. And bless God, 2,000 years from today, it'll still be perverse. God's against it. No matter who in my family or your family is for it. And now there's sympathy for terrorists. Sympathy for the Muslims, the rioters, in any other organization, our religion except for Christianity. That's what you've got in our country. And these stupid politicians and millennials think that socialism and communism would be great for this country. So then the state decides who gets what. The lazy prosper as well as the hard worker. The health care system will assure that if you become critically ill, you'll probably die. And you will have complete and total censorship of the Bible and any public reference to God. That's what happens with communist countries. People in our country, they're just loony. They don't even realize it. And now in our country, illegals can break the law, go in and murder somebody. They'll send you to a sanctuary city. They don't have any sanctuary cities for people born and raised here. Now, before anybody jumps on me, everybody just back up and listen. I am all for legal immigration. Amen. Except if you're a 100% Native American here today, you came in here. We all came in here. And I am all for legal immigration. I don't blame some of them people for wanting to leave and get over here. If I live where they lived, I'd want to get over here too. But who in their right mind wants to justify something? What is it called? Illegal immigration. It's illegal. And they wind up with more benefits and things over here than we do. This country is an insane asylum. God in heaven, if we can't help the ones that are here legally and then help the ones that are here illegally. There shouldn't even be any argument about it. They're here illegally. I thought if you did something illegal, you got prosecuted. Not in this insane world. It's nuts. Now, we have a country that has millions that want anarchy and no police. Ask the city of Seattle and their stupid mayor how that worked out. When they had the police sectored off there, 500 and something percent increase in crime, a couple of people dead. And then I think that stupid mayor says something about the protesters or people involved in that shouldn't be charged. She needs to be locked up. Politicians, news reporters, activists are defending those who burn down businesses and attack innocent people and kill police officers. You are stupid in your mind if you think this world will be better without police officers. Listen to me, folks. There's bad preachers. There's bad doctors. There's bad judges. Do you think we ought to get rid of all the preachers? Some of you do. Just never mind. Some of you are thinking right now, yeah, I think we should. You think we should get rid of all the judges? You think we should get rid of all the medical personnel and all the doctors? No. And it's insane to think that we can live without a police force. They don't get paid enough as it is. They come there and put up with your mess. And when I call them, I expect them to be there to save me. And then now it's perfectly fine in this country to stand out there and just cuss them and mock them and make fun of them. And then when they do something to you, put a little clip on Facebook. Don't show the whole video, just a little clip. To make it look worse than it really is. Hank Newsom, he is a so-called president in New York of Black Lives Matter. He said, if the U.S. doesn't give us what we want, then we'll burn down the system. He said, you could take that figuratively or you can take it literally. I heard the thing. This ain't a soundbite. This ain't Facebook or news. This is the real thing. Any white person in America said that, they lock them up the next day for threatening to be a terrorist. It's fixing to get all kind of uncomfortable in here right now, and you're just going to have to deal with it or get up. I want to know about Black Lives Matter. I want to know, did black lives really matter when blacks are killing blacks? Do you know that the recent statistic says that 89% of all black homicides are by blacks? That means 9 out of every 10 black people that's killed, another black person kills them. Why don't black lives get upset about that? They should. Let me tell you what else black lives ought to get upset about. Why don't they get upset about all the Planned Parenthood facilities in the black neighborhoods that's killing all the black children? Amen. Do you know that the black woman is 5 times more likely of all the races in America, the blacks get more abortions than any other race. And you know why that is? Because they are targeted by these people. They're taken advantage of by these people. They're purposely put in the neighborhood to kill black babies. I believe that. Amen. That's the devil that does that. Why don't black miners get upset about that? Because they're a bunch of cons is what they are. They ain't about black lives. They're about their agenda. And overthrowing the government. And anarchy. You know, in 2019, I checked several statistics. But there was twice as many unarmed white people killed by police officers as the word black. Now, I know there's a greater population. I understand all that. But listen, then there was twice as many as both of those put together of officers killed. So why don't anybody ever say anything about the unarmed white people that's being killed? Why don't anybody ever say anything about twice as many police officers are killed as they are black and white put together? I'll tell you why, because you got a liberal press. And they're brainwashing you and telling you a bunch of junk. And they got stupid people just sit up home at home all day and got a life. Just, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. If Arado said it, it must be right. Let's see who is really racist. We support missions around here. We give thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars every year because we want to see black people get saved. Amen. We go pick them up. We send money. We put them in the neighborhood. Listen, put your money where your mouth is. Don't talk about what everybody else ought to do. Why don't you ante up if you really care about them? Amen. I'll show you who ain't racist. The churches that are trying to reach them. Amen. We're the ones, we care about them. And listen, I'm not apologizing to anybody about being white. I didn't have nothing to do with it. Listen, I'm English, Scots-Irish, and Cherokee Indian, and I'm happy about all of it. And if you don't like it, get over it. Don't matter to me one way or the other, but I'm not apologizing to nobody. God made me that way, and I don't care if you're black, I don't care if you're white, Hispanic, whatever you are, you ought not apologize for it because God made you that way. And I'm not going to let somebody threaten me with being a racist when I know in my heart I don't think I'm better than nobody. I know in my heart I don't hate nobody. I don't wish no ill will on nobody. I think everybody ought to be given a fair shake. I don't care what color or what gender you are. I believe everybody ought to be treated right. And God loves one man just as much as he loves the other. So if you call me a racist, you know where you can stick it. You don't know my heart. You don't know nothing about me. You just naturally assume because I'm white and a conservative Christian and voted for Trump, I'm a racist. You're sick in the head. Out there in La La Land, you're sick in the head. I'm not apologizing for nothing, bless God. I'm tired of everybody that is. I lost a lot of respect for Drew Brees. He said what he said, he ought to stood on it. But the love of money is the root of all evil. All these people are constantly apologizing. Now, don't none of them mean it. They're apologizing because they got to save face and keep their job. Well, I'm sorry I said this. I'm sorry I said that. And I was so wrong. And I'm sorry I offended you. I ain't sorry a bit. Everything I said, I mean. And by the way, this white privilege. Let me tell you about my white privilege. A scene in my mind. I'm in the fifth grade. I had to buy all my school clothes in the fifth grade with summer work. I'm standing out there on the edge of my yard. A truck comes to pick me up with nothing but black folks in it. They pick me up and take me to the field to pull weeds out of peanuts all day long. It's just me, the only white person in the bunch, with the black folks. We go and we work all day long pulling weeds so I can buy school clothes. We laugh, we joke, we have fun, we work together, nobody gets mad, and they carry me back home. Let me tell you about my white privilege. My white privilege was I didn't even have a vehicle to go. If the black folks hadn't come by with the truck that they owned and picked me up, I wouldn't even got to go to work. That was my white privilege. And by the way, my boss out there, the one that picked me up on the truck, told me what to do. I didn't argue, I didn't fuss. I'm a boy, I'm out there working, trying to make some money. That was my boss. So don't run your mouth to me about white privilege. You don't know me. You don't know anything about me. People running their mouths. I'm not paying reparations to nobody about nothing. I know me and my daddy and my granddaddy never had no slave. I don't know if anybody ever had a slave. And if they did, that was shame on them. That was wrong, but that ain't got nothing to do with me. And I don't know you a cotton picking dime for anything anybody in my family did. Amen. Anybody in my race did. What's wrong with you? You ought to be amen. Are you scared too? Don't be scared. By the way, that is totally unbiblical. You know what that book says in Deuteronomy? Now see here, if you read the book, it'll clear up a lot of things, okay? You know what that book says in Deuteronomy? It says a boy don't die for his father's sin. He said every man bears his own sin. That means you don't charge me for something somebody in my family did 200 years ago or somebody just because they're the same color I am. You charge me for what I do. I don't go to jail for something somebody in my family does. They go to jail. But this world's so cuckoo, they don't know that. I don't owe nobody nothing. I want to say this. Let's just get it all out. The proponents for all this crazy mess. Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. I asked many years ago, I was in night school with a young black lady, very professional lady. She was actually a lawyer. Very professional, intelligent, well-kept, all of that. I said, we were talking about Jesse Jackson. I said, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't care for Jesse Jackson. She said, why? I said, he's been on the TV for years and years and years and years and years and years. He calls himself a reverend, a preacher. I've never heard him one time give the gospel. She stopped and paused. She said, you know, you're right. I haven't either. Jesse Jackson is the one that used the N-word. He's protesting all us. He's the one that used the N-word and said that Barack Obama needed to have his privates cut off. Any of you remember that? Jesse Jackson said that. And what about Mr. Al Sharpton? Let me give you a few quotes from Mr. Racist. Racist, the real racist, Al Sharpton. White folks was in the caves while we blacks was building empires. He calls white people crackers. He made comments against the Jews. He calls them the blood-sucking Jews. I know y'all are uncomfortable. Listen, man, just sit back and relax and enjoy it. I'm telling you the truth. They're the. You want to know where the real racists are? They are. They're the real racists. I'm sure I've turned the pages right. I want to get everything. Talking about the millennials now. They're the most narrow-minded, bigoted people on earth. They want either to erase history or reinvent history. Listen, if you have a right to come to a town and tear down their statue and tear down everything, where does that right stop? What else are you going to have the right to do? Now you got these universities with the liberal professors. I told you a while ago, they're more concerned about getting their agenda across than providing a solid education for all that tuition money you give them. And what about the so-called religious influence of this country? Paula White. You know Paula White is your president, my president. That's his spiritual advisor, Paula White, a woman who is a health, wealth, and prosperity teacher. Very sensual. Very disgusting. Amen. That's who he calls his pastor. I know you're going to get quiet. See, as long as I preach on the liberals, you don't care. But I start talking about Donald Trump, then you get all mad. I told you, I'm going to tell you the truth based on this Bible, whoever agrees with it. Amen. And you got Joel Osteen. That's your spiritual leaders for this country. Rick Warren, Benny Hinn, Creflo, I want your dollar. The church as a whole is powerless. Then you got this COVID-19. Why don't anybody ever ask a question about this COVID-19 and consider Amos 3:6? It says, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? You ever consider the Lord's in charge of all this? You ever considered he led it over here? And what I can't understand is now this is how lunacy prevails in our country. We have some of the folks calling others murderers and selfish because they don't wear a mask out in public, but they're pro-abortionists. Save the whales, save the spotted owl, murder the baby, and you're a murderer if you don't wear a mask, as long as I kill my babies. You're crippled too high for crutches. Listen, all this economic uncertainty that we got right now, it's going to lead to more violence. Listen. When the Great Depression hit in the 30s, people jumped out of buildings and killed themselves. Now they're going to kill you. Now they're going to kill you. There's more and more pressure from the government and education system and the medical field and society against those who are considered to be conservative, Bible-believing Christians. Everything now is hate speech. I'm getting sick and tired of that. Why doesn't anybody ever accuse me of hating the drunkard or the fornicator? Nobody ever does. I preach against being a drunk. I preach against being a fornicator. I preach against being an adulterer. Nobody ever says that's hate speech or you're a hate monger. But when I preach against a perverted sodomite, then that's hate speech. That's wrong. It's not hate speech. I don't even dislike them worse than I do any other sinner. I'm just preaching the book. But that's what they're going to do to you now. They're going to get you a hate speech so they can shut you down. And you can't teach and preach that stuff. We are guilty of white privilege and systemic racism, like I said, if we voted for Trump and we're a conservative Christian and you're white. But folks, listen to me. I could keep on and on and on today, but the time's drawing nigh, so you listen to me and you listen to me very carefully. The problem with America is not a political problem. The problem with America isn't the pestilence. The problem in America isn't the social problem. The problem in America isn't a racial problem. The problem in America is a sin problem.
Amen.
You say, what's wrong with America? It's wickedness. Sin. So, I want to say this. The state of the union is horrible. If that Bible is close to being authentic and true, and you know me, you know I believe it is, this country is heading straight to hell and we are in big trouble with God. That's right. We're in big trouble with God. You can expect it to get worse, and if you stand for God and His Bible, you're now entering into a time in this country when it's really going to cost you something. Going to cost you to stand up for what's right and believe that book. You had better get your morals and ideology for living in this insane world from the Bible, not the news media. You better watch your heart and stay in a good church around some good believers. The pressure is just going to intensify for you to compromise. The sound bites and the evening news are designed to mislead you. Calling you names and accusing you of all kind of things is what's scaring everybody to death, but you need to be more worried about what God calls you instead of a bunch of hell-bound politicians or social activists. We are in the short rows, folks, but the short rows contain less produce and more weeds. I really believe that our nation has entered into the perilous times that you find mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We have entered into the last days, whatever that means. God bless America. God bless America. I doubt it. God has blessed America, but now He may be about ready to curse America. I would advise you to hold on to what you know to be the truth. Try to win some souls to the Lord. Keep your head in the book so that the book can keep the world out of your head. And I'll leave you with one verse this morning. Two verses, 2:15 and 16, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You and I have been put into the midst of a perverse, wicked, crooked nation. And God asks that we shine as lights in this dark nation. Be busy about God. Keep your mind in this book on what God tells you to do. And be ready for the day of Christ. It's coming. The rapture's coming, then the judgment seat's coming. But our country is in horrible shape. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If that Bible's right, and I believe it is, and it says everything ends in apostasy, and I believe it's going to, I'm not going to tell you not to pray for revival in America, but I don't think there's going to be none. It's not coming. That book says this thing has got to end bad, and it's going to. But let me tell you something that ought to be a blessing and a help to you as we get ready to close. Even though revival is virtually impossible in America, it is not impossible in this church.
Amen.
It is not impossible in your family and in your home, and it is not impossible for you in your heart.
Amen.
We can all stay right, we can all do right, we can all live right, And by the grace of God, we can all die right. God help us. God help our country. Every head bowed and eye closed.